has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Two of you?
I just got on.
Martha?
Good evening.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Yudulachimin ha, ha, ti, seru, ra. Alifet Gimel, Yutap Sadi.
Has joined.
Amchasagvenu. Aharenu, no ra, Kufreshayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorsheyehudha, Kivavat, Sham, Rem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yutkashin, Barhem Taharem, Rakame Sukatha, Tamid Gamblem, Betet Resh, Taditaf Gimel, Tasim Kadosh, Bero Tucha, Nael Adata, Bet Kufbet, Bet Nunayan, Yachid Gea, Lamcha Pene, Zofre Kedushata Yud Gimelamet Pesayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodeyata Lubo Shin Kufal Tadi Yuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yoheh Wahe, Adonai Yoheh Wahe, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notzer chesed la'alafim, Noseya on wafesha, Bechata'a v'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parashat Yitro, known as Pasuk 29. We will begin with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Berichu Ishkin Te Bidkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Le'achta L'shem Yud He Bavav He B'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayinu Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kodaneihu. Rabbi Amar Bekarama
has joined.
Nainan de Kucha, Berichu Koma de Aved, Leila Witata, Kolai who Tishot Biovada, Tishot, the late Lach Mila Bialma, Divae Barnash, the Dach Yalea. Mineya ulam haga, veya kalana, delaku hu ovada. Dig shot inun, wikola itsterich, be alma. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. To connect to this energy, we study a verse from the Tanakh. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisam ti makom liami li Yisrael, unta ti wishakam. Ta'ta willo yirgaz, od willo yosifu. Bene avla anoto ta'asher barishona. The year 5781 has the energy of redemption. In order for the children of Israel to be ready for the redemption, they need to be prepared. One of the ways we prepare is by studying a verse from Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 21. It also has the energy of redemption. Dam mehem eka lakohanim la levim amar adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo wahe dawanu heyo. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te a la me me he shi la la he a ka he ta he za yo a la da la a wa he he a yo za la me be he he re yo he ko me la awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nu ta he he a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za hey 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he ka a la re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo la me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa me he me a yo cha la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la me nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa shi te re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za hey she hey me kaha wa wa la yo yo hey ta a la a re yo a la me ta hey wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey wa a nu a ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la hey be hey me za re wa hey be yo a hey a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. So today is the 10th day of Nisan. And the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day Miriam HaNaviah, the sister of Moshe and Aaron. And being the 10th day of Nisan, you should remember and make it your business to take control of your lamb. And as I said, Miriam HaNaviah, this is the day she chose to leave. Rabbi Chaim of Tzfat, Rabbi Bezalel HaKohen, Rabbi Shalom Mashash, and the eighth verse of the Anabah Koach, we say in a whisper. Please join me by covering your eyes. As we say together, Shema Israel, Adonai Yohewahe, Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo, Eloheinu Adonai Yo. Malchut. Yo aheni wa yohe, yo aheni wa yohe, yo aheni wa yohe. Yesod. ahuni wu yo hu. Ode. You ahuni wu yo hu. You ahuni wu yo hu. You ahuni wu yo hu. Metzah. Ye ahini wi yo hi. Ye ahini wi yo hi. Ye ahini wi yo hi. Tiferet. Yo ahuni wo yo ho. Yo ahuni wo yo ho. Yo ahuni wo yo ho. Gevura. Ye ash ni wi yo sh. Ye ash ni wi yo sh. Ye ash ni wi yo sh. Pesed. Ye aheni wi yo he. Ye aheni we yo he. Ye aheni we yo he. Bina. Ye aheni we yo he. Ye aheni we yo he. Ye aheni we yo he. Achma. Ye ahani wa yo ha. Ye ahani wa yo ha. Ya'ahani wa yo'ha. Keter. Ya'ahani wa yo'ha. Ya'ahani wa yo'ha. Ya'ahani wa yo'ha. Our class tonight comes from the writings of sages other than the Ari, but you'll find it on the same landing page for the Ari. So you'll find it on page, on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. And when you open that landing page up, scroll down to section Parashat Tzav. T-Z-A-V. And when that, there's four or five links under that. The second link is titled Torah Power, and that's where we will begin our class. We will begin with the Lashem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Baruch Hu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu Liakta L'shem Yud He Bovate V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah. Torah Power. The principal purpose of Torah and its study is to recapture sparks of sanctity which have fallen and as a result are being held captive. This is an essay or the teachings of Rabbi Chaim ben Ibn Attar, ben Moshe Ibn Attar. And he wrote a book titled Or Chaim, so that is what he is now known as. This is the law of the elevation offering, of the meal sharing, and of the sin offering, of the guilt offering, and of the peace offering. Anyone studying the laws of the burnt offering is as if he had actually offered such a sacrifice. We've been teaching you that for a while, and he's just one of many righteous people, many tzaddikim, who teaches this same idea. A homiletical message contained in this verse may be thought expressed by Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, that anyone studying the laws of the burnt offering is as if he had actually offered such a sacrifice. I plan to follow the same approach. Let me preface my remarks by recalling that numerous Kabbalists who have engaged in a study of these matters have said that the principal purpose of Torah and its study is to recapture sparks of sanctity, which have fallen, and as a result are being held captive. We are dealing with two separate aspects of fallen sparks of sanctity here. One refers to the sparks of sanctity which descended into the world of chaos for reasons which are well known. The term sparks of sanctity is enough for these students of Kabbalah to know what we are talking about. The only way such souls can be rescued from the clutches of the spiritually negative forces is through the study of Torah. The second aspect of that term is that it refers to souls which are being oppressed by cruel humans ever since the time Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. At that time, Adam provided the negative elements in our world with a great deal of spiritual loot. The only way such souls can be rescued from the clutches of the spiritually negative forces which hold them captive is the study of Torah, in such a way that Torah becomes the mainstay of our lives. Torah is the only effective antidote to the forces of the evil urge, as we know. If the evil urge attacks you, drag him to the house of Torah study. If he had been as hard as stone before you dragged him to the house of Torah study, you will find that he melts. If he had been as tough as iron, he will explode. In our verse, the Torah has revealed the marvelous properties of the Torah. When the Torah writes, "This is the Torah," this is an introduction to the description of its powers. The Torah continues, Le'ola, the elevating offering, to tell us that means of Torah study, the Jewish people can elevate themselves to be the vehicle of God's presence. The Torah goes on to say, Le'mincha, the meal offering. This word may be translated in several ways, all of which are correct. The word reflects the concept of menucha, or rest. It reflects the concept of nachat, of calm and tranquility. It also reflects the concept of hanacha, deposit, to repose. Now, to separate between what we've just discussed, the elevation offering and the meal offering, now we're going to discuss the sin offering and the guilt offering. These words clarify two separate aspects of the descent of the sparks of sanctity into the nether regions, which we referred to earlier. The sparks of sanctity, which descended at the time the world was still in chaos. Tohu Vavohu, before the period which commenced with Hashem creating light at the beginning of the Torah's report. Tohu Vavohu are here referred to as Lechatat, the Torah of the sin offering, whereas the sparks of sanctity which descended into the realm of Satan after Adam sinned are referred to as La'asham, the Torah of the guilt offering. The Torah had to inform us of this division in order for us to appreciate that not only can it help us locate and isolate, identify these sparks of sanctity, But Torah can also be the instrument of rescuing these sparks of sanctity from their exile. The Torah alludes to this when it writes, Umiluim, to make them fill their original places. The word Miluim refers to the original place assigned to the sparks of sanctity, which descended into chaos before Hashem created order in the physical universe. By vanquishing one's evil urge, one can again isolate the realm of good. The word Ulzevach Hashlamim referred to the sparks of sanctity which descended into the clutches of the spiritually negative forces rampant in our world after Adam's sin. The expression Zevach in this connection reminds us of he who offers a thanksgiving offering honors me, and I will show him salvation. The Talmud comments on this verse that the person that the psalmist refers to sacrifices his evil urge. Zovaach, the slaughtering, means vanquishing that which one slaughters. By vanquishing one's evil urge, one can again isolate the realm of good, which had been inextricably fused with the forces of evil, while that soul had been in the clutches of Satan, of the evil urge. This is a tremendous spiritual accomplishment, as commented upon by David, who viewed himself as, "My heart was slain inside of me." David referred to having killed the evil urge within him. This is a very great spiritual accomplishment, but it cannot be achieved except through Torah, as we mentioned when we quoted the Talmud. The Talmud there also quotes Hashem as saying, "Whereas I have created the evil urge within you, I have also given you a remedy to overcome it, the Torah." I am adding, when one accepts this as truth, one can have no choice logically regarding Torah study. This is because Torah study is revealed as the only public path to transforming oneself into a tzaddik. In addition, it is an amazing revelation to know that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, can be put to death, which is the meaning of controlled. That's the end of this particular essay. Does anybody have any questions? If not, I will go on to the next section, which is titled Extra Attention. Kabbalah teaches that the earthly altar represents the celestial altar. And this is a teaching from the Torah Moshe, a sefer by Rabbi Moshe Alshich of Bat Safed. Command Aaron and his sons, etc. This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall remain, and then it goes on. The burnt offering has been discussed previously. By mentioning the basic procedure once more, the Torah is expressing that extra care be taken with the performance of all regulations pertaining to sacrifices. I am adding, this is not the only reason for these extra words, the additional mention of the Ola Afra. The tabernacle represents the celestial sanctuary, God's residence in heaven. The reason for this is that altars built by man prior to the consecration of the tabernacle were not holy in the sense of their being a gift to God. Now, with the advent of this altar and the heavenly fire, which descended regularly to consume the offering brought thereon, a different degree of sanctity was imparted. This requires that attention be paid to all the details of the regulations pertaining to it. This altar represents the celestial altar, just as the tabernacle represents the celestial sanctuary, God's residence in heaven. This is the reason why this legislation commences with the term command, impressing the urgency and the need for precision when fulfilling the commandments of the priest. That's the end of this section. Does anyone have any questions about this section? And we continue with days of perfection. Moses was granted the power to sanctify Aaron the priest. And this comes from the teachings of Rabbi Bachya ben Asher. You shall be inaugurated for a period of 7 days. The days of inauguration were seven, as the people already realized the significance of the seven garments of the high priest. Now, we teach that the high priest has eight garments, but the commentator has said that the trousers are not a specific garment of the high priest, and therefore there are seven specific garments to the high priest while he wears eight garments. We read in Isaiah, who made his glorious arm march at the right side of Moses. This is a reference to Moses, who trained Aaron and gave him some of his prophetic powers. According to the Zohar, this is why Moses had to anoint Aaron. During these 7 days, Moses performed the high priest's duties, dressed only in a white tunic, in order to confer all this sanctity upon Aaron. In the Zohar, Rabbi Abba
has joined.
In the Zohar, Rabbi Abba said that since Moses was firmly rooted in the holy place, where all his powers stemmed, he was able to transfer this sanctity to Aaron. And this is why the Torah wrote earlier, he poured from the oil of anointment on Aaron's head, and he anointed him and sanctified him. This is also the reason that these days of inauguration were described in the Zohar as days of perfection or perfecting. Are there any questions about this section? Offerings of insight is the next section. And this is, yes, Hannah, go ahead.
Well, I have a question. You know, because the garments meant so much to me years ago and I made that set, I never thought of it before that really the only pants or trousers were the underwear. And those were, that was the garment that was torn and used to burn in the towers way up high at Sukkot. And so I guess that would be the reason why they weren't technically a garment, why they were burned. Do you think? Because the other garments were like dresses, you know.
Well, the other garments were specifically for the high priest, and they were a like a dress. But he did wear pants underneath that. You're saying it's underwear, but it's basically the same pants that the regular priest wore.
Okay, with the pictures that I was given from that book that was sent to me from Rabbi Richman and was all in Hebrew at the time because it was, you know, before things were actually being published here. They were like shorts, maybe going up to the knees. I don't think they went all the way down. And I guess I think they were called undergarments rather than an undergarment rather than underwear. You know? And of course, there was, you know, no elastic in those days. It was had to make two buttonholes and put a strip to be able to draw them like a drawstring. That was the way the picture was in the text that he sent me.
Right.
But I thought if that was the garments that were torn when they got worn to be used as for the burning of the torches that were raised real high. You could see them from miles away from Jerusalem at Sukkot. And at night the people would be dancing and, you know, just having a joyful time. But it just struck me that would have been the ones to be burned because the others were not burned.
Why does the high priest wear 8 garments?
Well, each one atoned for a particular transgression or sin.
Yes, that's true, but that's not the reason there are 8.
Oh,
why are there not 8 continents in our world?
Well, one number higher than the 7.
That's exactly the answer. The high priest wears 8 garments because he is making a connection to the higher worlds outside of our physical world. But he also represents that middle entity that has aspects of physicality and aspects of spirituality. And that's why he really was wearing 7 garments with the 8th being concealed, being underneath the dress, so to speak.
Okay.
Does that help you a little better? I'm not saying you're incorrect in what you've said.
I just remember that all the other garments besides that one, they were never burned when they were no longer wearable. You know, they were folded and put away, and I don't remember if they were washed or not. But it's been too many years, you know.
They would have been washed and then buried.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the same thing with the parchments that are in the Geniza.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't want to say what I didn't remember, so I just, you know, I know there was a special place in the temple for those garments to be placed, even after they were worn for a while, you know, after they took them. They would take them off. He would take them off. But it was the idea that that particular garment, undergarment, atoned for sexual sins. And so I can, you know, to me, I could understand why that one would have been burned and not the others. So the hard part was I couldn't get any of those things out because of the snowstorm, because I had them in a box in the storage room. And so I couldn't go and refresh my memory and I haven't gotten to that yet. So
I understand.
Okay. And of course, passion is associated with sexuality and fire, you know, so it kind of goes together.
Okay. It all goes together, correct. I'm going to stop here. The next section is offerings of insight that's being taught by the Baal Shem Tov. If you're wondering why there's so many different sages being covered tonight and they all seem to be short, that's a very accurate perception. But the Ari only made a very short comment on this parasha, and we need to understand that the fact that he only wrote one of these sections, we need to understand that when it comes to spirituality, less is more. Does anybody have any other questions or comments you'd like to express? Have a beautiful evening. Remember, there are 4 classes tomorrow. 7 a.m. will be our morning class, reading the Aliyah. 8 o'clock, we will have our connection to the Ari ritual for the month of Tevet. And that's a pretty important month to take control of. We will be continuing our study of the book of Joshua, hopefully to finish it. And the Deep Zohar at 4:30 and a Tikkuni Zohar at 7 p.m. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful evening. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.